Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Worldview Matters. We appreciate you sharing the podcast, but most importantly, we appreciate your prayers and support. Can't wait to get to our guest today, Dr. Nathan Jones. He serves as the Director of Internet Outreach and Evangelism at Lamb and Lion Ministries. He's served the ministry since probably decades ago. We'll get that exact timeline when we get him on. But he studied at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, received his master's at Liberty University, earned his Doctor of Religious Studies at Trinity Theological Seminary, and he is an ordained pastor, is married to Heather Jones, who also serves at Lamb and Lion Ministries. What a blessing. Nathan, welcome to Worldview Matters.
Hey, David. Great to be on again, brother.
Yeah, good to see you, brother. Now, how long have you been with Lamb and Lion? Or I know there's quite a few years there, right?
Well, you said decades. I would have been pretty young, but 16 years.
That's true. Okay, 16. So a decade and a half. We're getting to two decades. But anyway, so good to have you, brother. I appreciate your ministry. You've had one of my regular guests, the troublemaker for the kingdom of God, J.B. Hickson, recently.
Oh, yes.
I loved that show on technocracy. Tell us, before we talk about some events you have coming up, tell us about what you guys are doing in the book of Daniel.
Okay. Well, our television program, Christ in Prophecy, has been doing a five-week deep dive into the book of Daniel, and we've been teaching through it both the history and the fulfilled prophecies, the yet future prophecies, and life application. And folks can go to our website at christinprophecy.org and go to Christ in Prophecy Radio or television, and we've got those programs there.
Awesome. And I love your website. You have so many great resources, and they can get Lamplighter, they can get the newsletter and everything else. But next, I wanted to ask you about an upcoming conference that you guys have. I love the title of this, and because it's true, Nation in Freefall Bible Conference. And I think it mentions Jack Hibbs, Mike Huckabee. Tell us about that.
Well, every year our ministry hosts a big annual conference here in the Dallas area. Of course, we live stream it too. And we're going to focus because every election, every 4 years, it seems like Christians forget there is a sovereign God and they look to human messiahs to rescue them. And so we're going to deal, we believe in, you know, Christians getting involved in politics, getting involved in action, you know, being a light in this world. But we got to remind folks that, hey, we're citizens of the kingdom that's yet to come, and that's our home. That's where our loyalty lies. And to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, he's the only Messiah we need.
There's got to be a parallel here somewhere in what happened when Jesus was on the earth and the Jews, a lot of people, not the Jews, but a lot of his followers wanted to make him king. They were looking for a political savior, not the spiritual Messiah that would provide salvation for them, but someone that would feed them and take care of them politically, right? So there's got to be some parallel with what, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, right?
No. They wanted Jesus to defeat the Romans and set up his kingdom right then and there. And Jesus was there to set up a spiritual kingdom. That's what the church has been tasked to do as well. And so, again, as Christians, we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He will come. He will return. He will defeat evil. And he will set up his kingdom on this earth.
Amen. And it can't come soon enough for some of us. You said something recently. I don't remember where I read this. Maybe in an email exchange we've had before the podcast, you said it seems like you've been asked a lot lately to speak on the topic of heaven, as far as and as well as what churches are missing out on by not teaching Bible prophecy. Talk a little bit about that, because I think we're going through some really rough times in America and around the world, especially since 2020, and a lot of people maybe are confused, and a lot of people are maybe more fearful than they were in the past. So more people maybe are looking to heaven or for something like that. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, we got to remember that the glory of Lord is our strength, but you know, we're weak, we're human, and we're looking around. I think you're right. Since the pandemic, Christians are scared. They're scared of seeing our country unravel around us as the world becomes more globalistic, as I could go on and on about the corruption in society, the apostasy in the church. So yeah, we believe that folks are kind of taking their mind off the goal. You know, when you get in a car and you drive somewhere, you have a destination in mind. And for our believers in Christ, That's heaven. And so we wanted to, it just seems that people's focus now has become, hey, let's talk about heaven and what's going on in the world. And people who weren't interested in prophecy, and that's many, all of a sudden seem to have an interest in prophecy, especially since October 7th and the invasion of Hamas into Israel. So yeah, I'd say those two topics are what Lamb and Lion Ministries has been covering most over the last few months. We're heaven focused and we're dealing with earthly bound issues by pointing people to God's prophetic word.
Amen. Amen. We are here as ambassadors of Christ and we are ministers of reconciliation. We do have work to do while we're here, but we have a dual citizenship, citizens of heaven and temporary citizens of earth and the United States. You brought up October 7th, and I wanted to ask you something about that and about what happened. I think I'm Jan Markell. I had her on a couple months ago, and I remember her words. She says it seemed like demons were unleashed when that happened. Now, we've always known there's been spiritual warfare. We've known it's a lot has been manifesting in the natural, and there's always been these battles. But it seems like that took evil to another level. And I wanted to ask you, do you think the Hamas attack against Israel and the current war might be waking up more people and maybe either in the church, Christians giving more of an interest in Bible prophecy and the unchurched going, wow, what's going on here? Maybe more might be turning to God or open to Jesus or spiritual things. What do you think?
Well, I think what we've seen primarily is a revolution in Israel. I mean, we were seeing Israel almost on the verge of a political civil war. 85% or 80 to 85% I've read of Jewish people in Israel are secular humanists. And there has been a great awakening pointing them to there is a God. I mean, the dependency on God has grown. Our contacts in Israel have been saying that there's a spiritual revival going on in Israel right now. And we know when we read Ezekiel 38 and 39, when Russia leads an Islamic invasion against Israel, one day when God supernaturally steps in and destroys those invaders, it says that all the Jewish people of the world will return to Israel and they will know God. So I think this is a foretaste of what's to come. Now, for the church, who primarily is asleep when it comes to prophecy, they're so concerned in the here and now, I've seen quite an awakening of interest in what God's got planned. Lots of people writing in, where does Israel fit into Bible prophecy? We're hearing that. As for the unchurched, David, I don't know. You tell me, you interview a lot more people than I do in the secular realm, and I haven't seen much of an interest, more of the confusion that they're supporting the Palestinians after they butchered 1,300 Jewish people, more so than they understand what the purpose of Israel is.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because that's good marketing. When I mean good marketing, I mean the marketing of evil. When you see what happened on our college campuses in America and the support for Hamas, you're thinking, these people obviously don't have a biblical worldview, obviously. But to get them to believe that somehow they should support Hamas and this confusion that Israel, they're just occupiers. And even when you look at the land over there, the little blip that's the size of New Jersey that Israel owns, and look at the surrounding coalition of Muslim and nations, Islamic nations and dictatorships around them, you're thinking, okay, they are some of the worst occupiers that are colonial, whatever. It's just been really interesting to try to watch this and go, okay, who's going to reach these people? For example, Nathan, what are your thoughts? Now we're talking about people that are on college campuses, not Christians, not the church, but people that maybe have blind support for something they don't really understand. They don't understand from the biblical worldview, prophetically, obviously, but they've just been told, K through 12, maybe when they get to the university level, they've been sold a narrative or they believe certain talking points. So how do you get through to these people?
How do you get through to them? Well, we produce a lot of videos and teaching material. I see PragerU's done a lot of videos as of late, short videos, trying to help explain what's going on. When people write us angry for our position in support of Israel, we can reply back with, hey, this is the history. Israel's there legally according to the UN since 1947. They're a legal nation since 1948. The land has been theirs for 3,000 years. The Palestinian people didn't exist until Yasser Arafat. And when you start explaining the fact that the Gazans are actually prisoners of Hamas, the terrorist group, and getting rid of Hamas frees the Gazans, it really opens their eyes. So it's an information campaign. And so as ministries, we try to reach out and give people the biblical information, the historical and political information that's correct to help people out of their, unfortunately, indoctrination, like you said, the ignorance that they've been put under.
That's right. So it's not only the biblical history, but world history, which there's a lot of that in the Bible as well. So they just don't know. They have not been taught to think critically. So they've just accepted what they've heard. And then when they hear things like that, I bet at first they have a hard time believing it. But thank God for what you guys do, what Prager does, and so many others. You wrote, we're changing topics here a little bit. You wrote the foreword for a book called Hereafter. And it was put out by Terry James, Jonathan Brentner. We've had him on the podcast. I've spoken with Terry James. Love those guys. I know. Great writing. Very always encouraging and uplifting. And tell us about your surprising encounter. I found it to be fascinating when you went just simply to get a haircut. You thought you were just going to go get a haircut. And then something else happened. There was a God opportunity. Tell us about that, Nathan.
Well, I've been sitting on that story for so many years and had wanted to share it. When Terry approached me about writing the foreword to the book about heaven, I'm like, this is a story that I've been dying to tell for a long time. It was many years ago. I went to a barber shop, a very manly one, you know, where only men go and their man cubs go. And all of a sudden, my barber, I realized, wasn't a man. It was a woman, a very butch woman. And, you know, it was a little surprising, but we talked a bit. And finally, she says, well, what do you do for a living? And I said, I kind of realized what she was. I was like, well, I'm in ministry. She spins me around in the chair and looks at me and says, well, do you think people like me will go to heaven? Indicating, of course, that she was a lesbian. And so here it was an opportunity to share the gospel with her. So I was sharing about what heaven will be like and what the requirements to get in, that you have to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and be saved and cleansed of your sins so that you become a citizen of the kingdom. And we got into this rapt conversation, and all of a sudden we looked around and realized that everybody in the barbershop were silent. They were all listening in. And unfortunately, her shields went back up, and it was like everybody was kind of shocked, and everybody was done with their haircut all at once. It was like a mad stampede to get out of the building. And they were pretty much done with me. I paid my bill, and I kind of waited around hoping that maybe the barbers would want to keep talking, but they all congregated in front of the TV like they needed something to distract them. And I left, and it was like the weirdest gospel sharing experience, evangelist experience of my life, that people were so wrapped with it. But when it came finally to committing to it, to giving up, you know, surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ, nobody was willing. And so I think if we have a better understanding of the hereafter and what's required of it, salvation, then it's a very important book that I think hereafter that both Terry and Jonathan wrote. So I highly recommend it.
Amen, brother. Thank you. One thing in that exchange that she said, after she said, do you think I'll be going to heaven? She said, after all, I hear God's not too keen on people like me. Now, that's a perception. They think, you know, they just hear judgment from some people, but God is so much more than that. But they forget that sin is sin, and we deal with sin, whether that be adultery, pornography, profanity, whatever, taking God's name is vain. There's so many others. And I know you went through, you know, are you a good person, the good person test with her, but that's what you have to do. So it's using opportunities like that. Who knows where she's at today, but we got to take a brief break. We're with Nathan Jones from Christ in Prophecy, Lamb and Lion Ministries. When we come back, this same topic, we're going to stay on this topic because we're going to answer the question, should Christians attend LGBTQ weddings? And there's a great article that Jason Jimenez, another one of our guests, wrote quite a while back in the Washington Times about Alistair Begg's comments on this. And so we're going to talk with Nathan about that in just a minute on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Guys, if you're listening to our show via audio podcast, I've been told that a 5-star review will really help the show rise in the rankings. So please leave a good review. And also, if you're interested in being a sponsor like Harbingers Daily and others, get a hold of us, send us an email our website, worldviewmatters.tv, and our producer will respond to you. I want to mention that event that we talked about earlier, the conference that Nathan mentioned at the beginning, Nation in Freefall Bible Conference. It's June 14th. I just want to mention Jack Hibbs, Mike Huckabee. You can get information at christinprophecy.org under events. So Alistair Begg came out, you know, recently, within the last couple months, and he was giving advice to apparently a grandmother, a woman, on whether she should attend an LGBT wedding. And Jason's article is entitled "A Compassionate Response to Alistair Begg's Bad Advice on LGBT Weddings." And the question is, Nathan Jones, should Christians attend an LGBT wedding, and what message does that send? I'll quote Jason a little bit and what he shares, but just right off the top, I'm sure you've had this question, I'm sure you've had to answer it, and just what do you tell people?
It's interesting. I don't know if you were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in February, but I got back from it, and that was all the talk. And since we were there to promote our new Christ in Prophecy radio program, Alistair Begg's spot on quite a number of networks opened up, and we slid right into it. So we went from zero to 700 radio networks in just 1 week.
Wow.
And so, you know, I don't want to profit off of Alistair's, I don't want to call it a mistake. I mean, it's something that he believes, and I give him that. But as Christians, we're supposed to stand up for the truth, the biblical truth. We love sinners, we hate the sin. And so, to go to a gay wedding, and this is what I tell people that write in, to go to a transgender wedding, even if it's in the family, and I do have family members who are of that persuasion. I have a cousin who actually has turned Islamic, so she could marry a Muslim. What do you say? You say, well, I love you, I pray for you, but by going, I'm supporting your sin, and I just can't do that. I love you too much. And I think that's the position that Christians should hold. Again, I'd say it's between each person and the Holy Spirit, but if you're solely going from a biblical position, Christians should never stand for evil.
And Jason starts off by saying about Alistair Begg, he calls his advice troubling, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but he says, I want to express my deep appreciation for him, for his humble and thought-provoking teaching, his biblical stand, and he said he has significantly nurtured my faith and my pastoral skills. And I want to go back to the advice, Nathan, because he said, Alistair Begg said, well, here's the thing. Your love for them may catch them off guard, but your absence from the same-sex ceremony, your absence will simply reinforce the fact that they said these people are what I always thought, judgmental, critical, and it goes on. So what he's saying, Alistair Begg was apparently saying, and he does not believe in that, he believes homosexuality is a sin, does not believe in same-sex ceremonies, but he's giving this woman advice. Yes, you should go even get him a gift. I think I read that in there too. But here's the thing. Your love for them may catch them off guard. And Jason makes the point, he's pointing to Ephesians 5:11, to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but expose them. So there's a balance there. And I think well-meaning Christians, people have dealt with this. Almost everybody knows someone who is LGBTQ these days, unfortunately, or at least confused or thinks they are. So Nathan, this is a very common problem, but it sends the wrong message. And that was the point that Jason was making. It's a compromise, and it sends a message that you endorse the ceremony. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. Alistair Begg has been a teacher, a very devout teacher for many years. Yes. I highly esteem him. This is a subject that we see the church struggling with more and more. I don't know about you, David, but I didn't think of transgenderism even 5 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, it's a big issue. Even 20 years ago, homosexuality and gay marriages wasn't something you had to consider. Now, every single Christian is finding someone in their family or in their circle of friends where this is challenging them. So we're trying to work through it, but we don't work through it based on what we feel. We base it on the word of God. And like you said, Romans teaches that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we are all sinners, that is true. But living in a lifestyle of sin against God is killing these people. It's sending them to hell. And why would we want to endorse that? It's like some would say, well, you shouldn't share the gospel with people because it makes God seem judgmental and it's hurtful. Let just God deal with them. But isn't by depriving them of salvation, sending them to hell? So why would we want to endorse that? So I agree with you. And that statement is that we need to make a stand. We're showing love, tough love, yes, in some respects, by not attending.
Yeah. And I want to be fair. Alistair Begg did say, apparently this was a year and a half ago when he preached on Romans 1. He did say we are not at liberty to rewrite the Bible to accommodate godless perspectives on abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, on transgenderism, and more. So to give him credit, that's what he preached, which is great. But this advice was troubling because, as Jason Jimenez says, what exactly is being celebrated at a LGBT, at a same-sex wedding? And he says, a couple's sexuality, a gay couple's sexuality, not biblical sexuality. And he says, a trans person, what if it's a trans person? Well, they're believing that they're a different gender than what God gave them, how God created them. So there's a form of rebellion that a Christian, well-meaning, wanting to be loving and compassionate, goes to this service or the ceremony and says, you know, trying to support them, but it sends a wrong message. So you can be loving and you can still tell them the truth. But sometimes, Nathan, I know we see it in this day and age, it's a fine line to walk sometimes. And you can communicate something as loving and soft, as compassionate as you want, but people will still take it. Truth divides and offends, doesn't it? And the gospel is offensive.
I was just going to say that Jesus said that he would divide families apart. And why? Because you have to make a stand for the truth. And unfortunately, we are seeing families divided over this more and more so as we get closer to his return.
Yeah, and we will. We'll see this more and more because, unfortunately, since the Supreme Court weighed in 2015, and since we're seeing just how America has just really morphed in that direction, supporting even now. Let me ask you this. Did you ever think that even our medical establishment in America, not all in the medical profession, but they would be supportive of doing surgeries on minors who think they are the opposite sex? Gender-affirming care, and you got to put that, in my opinion, you have to put those words in air quotes, because you can't reassign what God designed. But our culture would tell you different, and even the medical profession. Did you ever think, Nathan Jones, that we'd be in this place where even in the medical profession, they're supposed to use science and knowledge and their understanding of the Bible, right? And human body, not the Bible, but the medical manuals and the human body. But yet, there's some children's hospitals that are doing these surgeries, and you're kind of going, wow, is this a delusion? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it reminds me of the verse about the heart is deceptively evil. We will deceive ourselves even when our brains know better. My wife and I went to Bozeman, Montana. We'd always wanted to go to Montana last year. And we're walking around the town area. And I was surprised how many transgender people there were, how many with the dyed hair, the tats, and, you know, the lesbianism and homosexuality. I thought, oh, Montana, you know, should be a pretty straight state, you know? And my wife said something that really opened up my eyes to understanding. She said, do you remember back in the 80s when we were kids? It was the hair metal band. That was the rebellious area. In the 60s, it was the hippies. In the 90s, it was in the grunge. This generation, it's now transgenderism. Every generation seeks to rebel against God. They just pick a particular sin and run with it. Now, it seems obviously going downhill and getting worse and worse what sins there are, but it really opened my eyes the fact that this is a rebellion against God. These are people that need to know the truth and so be saved.
And I want to mention one of the scriptures that Jason mentioned in his article, just to reinforce what we're talking about. Hebrews 13:4, he quoted it, which says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So we're not just talking about one sin of homosexuality, we're talking about adultery, any fornication, anything outside of the biblical parameters for sex. And God designed sex. God said, be fruitful and multiply. So we have to keep everything in perspective. So Nathan, going back to your website and just looking, there's so many great things. One of the things that in a newsletter that Dr. David Reagan put out at the end of January, I'd love for you to touch on this in the last couple minutes we have left, but I know the answer. I think you can maybe condense it for us. Are churches hurting themselves by dismissing Bible prophecy? Because we know that just a fraction of churches today actually teach the whole counsel of God, especially prophecy.
Yes, they are absolute. Because look at Revelation 1:3, which promises a blessing if you hear and take to heart the prophecies written in the book of Revelation. The yes. Lord wants us to know that he wins in the end. And why would pastors be afraid of that? I mean, it gives us the hope for living today. Dr. Reagan wrote a great article. He talked about the quantity, how a third of the Bible is prophetic, how the Bible is the only book in the world that contains fulfilled prophecies, that fulfilled prophecy it validates the scripture as the inspired word of God. It inspires Jesus as the Savior. It validates him. It reveals the future. And many other points that he brought out show that Bible prophecy is extremely important for us. And I would just encourage pastors, hey, if you don't feel comfortable teaching prophecy, that's what ministries like Lamb and Lion are for. Call us. We'd be glad to come out and share God's prophetic word with your congregation.
Amen, brother. And I'm sure that's going to be some of the topics on the upcoming conference in June, right? That people can live stream. So look that up at christinprophecy.org. Was it in one of your recent programs? I don't remember. I think it was Dr. Reagan that said, quoted Pastor Adrian Rogers, that said, the world is getting gloriously dark. And you're thinking, how is that a good thing? But if you're a believer in Christ and you understand the future, you have a grasp of Bible prophecy, I mean, it's supposed to go this way. But we can look and be optimistic and say, yes, that's God is sovereign, and we can really take heart that things are getting darker, but we have the light of Christ in us. I mean, was that you or was that Dr. Reagan that said that? Quoted Adrian Rogers.
All three of us, Tim Moore as well, like to quote that because it's true. As the world is falling apart, it's transitioning to the kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
We're in that transition time period. This world is passing. The new world is coming. So in effect, yes, the world is getting gloriously dark.
Boy, we're getting close, aren't we? Praise God. Yep. And he will be returning soon, our blessed hope. Nathan Jones, thank you so much for your time today, brother. Lord willing, we'll do it again in the near future.
Amen. Thank you, David.
You bet. All right, guys. Again, christinprophecy.org. Great website. Great resources there and awesome programs. Good to hear their radio show is on more stations now. Praise God. So thank you guys for supporting the show. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.